Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is a little pocket awareness. All right. It is your guys' favorite quarterback podcast. We are back. A little pocket awareness. You guys already know what to do. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, ALPA underscore QB1. Instagram, same thing, ALPA underscore QB1. Make sure you guys are listening on iTunes or Spotify. Subscribe, download, Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness on Facebook. Hit the like button. And then, of course, follow me on Twitter at the Mark John NFL and follow Chris on Twitter at King Manelos. All right. So today, guys, we're going to be doing our adjusted net yards per attempt MVP update. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to be deep diving into like little guys who fell off already. And, you know, some guys who are, you know, getting overhyped and shouldn't be getting overhyped. And we're going to be getting into, you know, the inevitable, which is Chris, that number 12 behind him is coming. All right. And you guys can't see it, but Chris has 12 behind and he's coming. So we'll get into that, guys. But first thing first, you know, we do our little, you know, favorite team updates, right? You know, Thanksgiving game.
Of course, Thanksgiving. We took the holidays, took advantage of us, and we took advantage of the time with them. And, you know, we let a little time go by. We're going to eat. We ate all that food and we didn't get back to the microphones fast enough. That's all that happened.
And that's just really what happened, guys. But it's all right. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, nothing really happened the week before anyways. I mean, besides Aaron Rodgers playing well. The only quarterback game that was good the week before was Kirk Cousins versus Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there was any other good quarterback play the week before. Anyways, I mean, quarterback.
And it was a classic. Crazy. It was the classic game where the Minnesota Vikings won at home. Like, that's what they do. If they're going to win, mm-hmm. if they got a big game that they need to win, it better be at home.
Yeah.
Because if it's not, they're not winning it.
Yeah, and we aren't talking about Taylor Heineke on this show, so you know we're not going to have a Taylor Heineke segment. Now he's like the best quarterback the week before. We're not having a segment on him. So no offense, Taylor. All right, so Thanksgiving game. You know, it was Zach versus Derek Carr. Derek Carr came out on top, 36-33. Everybody's saying he's having a bounce back game. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, my God, Derek Carr is back. I don't know how much that is. I said this on tape tonight. I just think the Cowboys are idiots. And they decided to play man-to-man and against a team that destroys man-to-man. And I don't know what tape they watched. I don't know what games they watched before. But the Bengals didn't play man the week before. And either did the Chiefs. And when the Bengals played man, they gave up some big plays. And so did the Chiefs when they played man a couple times. They gave up big plays. I don't know what film they were watching, but I don't know. Maybe they thought, like, hey, maybe we got Trayvon Diggs. And then, I mean, but you still, I mean, Anthony Brown, though, I don't know.
I feel like they thought that they were, like, this is the first time their defense has shown up in years, Marcus. So maybe they thought, you know what? We got a good defense now. You made them reevaluate that very quickly.
You know, it's just a game plan. I mean, you just, you know, like Derek Carr is super aggressive this year. Like sometimes I think he's overly aggressive. It kind of bothers me, but you know, people like it, but then they get mad when he throws interceptions. I'm like, well, you know, you want to be him to be Russell Wilson. Like you got it, you know, it's mm-hmm. too high. You know, Derek Carr is like, I don't care. You know, I'm throwing it to Zay Jones. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's what they wanted. So, and if you play man to man and he's like, he looks over to his right. He's, oh my God, is that Deshaun Jackson on Anthony Brown? And he's going to snap the ball and throw it up. Like, that's what he's going to do this year. So, like, what tape were they watching? I don't, you know, because it's not a fan. You know, fans don't watch tape. They just watch the game and they're drunk and then they get mad or whatever. It happens. The team loses, blame the quarterback. We get lost. We throw beer at the quarterback, whatever. Right. But the teams watch tape. They don't have an excuse. They don't have an excuse. There's tape out there how to stop mm-hmm. the Raiders, and they just ignored it. And they looked up and narrowed down late, and they had to depend on Dak Prescott to try to bring them back with, you know, so, and it didn't happen. I mean, it's basically what happened in that game. I mean, I can get into a huge Derek Carr love at Derek, but I thought Derek Carr has been playing well. I mean, even the weeks before that, I mean, people would disagree
sure.
with me.
Sure. I mean,
the Giants game, he was bad. Okay. Giants game, he was definitely bad. I'm not gonna say that, but I think the other 2 weeks, I think there was, he got a little unfair criticism. I thought the team played awful around him. And, you know, people act like that doesn't matter, but it does. your quarterback can be locked in, but it doesn't matter if the other players are, they got drunk the night before. It doesn't matter if he's locked in or not. He can be, yeah, you know,
Marcus,
he, no, go ahead.
Marcus, you mean this isn't the NBA?
Yeah,
one guy can't take over? Yeah, is that what you mean?
I can't stand that thought process that, you know, like, that, like, it's like they think quarterbacks are mutants. Like, they're not mutants. Because to be fair to Dak, I mean, Dak got killed for throwing 375 yards at Cedric Wilson and Noah Brown. And I don't think he should be getting killed for that. I mean, he has some article talking about he can't elevate players. Like, how much can he really elevate, Noah Brown.
You know why? You know why it happened that way, Marcus?
Why?
Because Aaron Rodgers did it earlier this year. And you see a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
See, it's not fair, though.
I disagree with you. It was one game. It was one game for Aaron Rodgers also. He did it one game. But Aaron Rodgers set the bar. And Dak Prescott's getting that elite money. So everybody says, if you're getting that elite money, you got to be doing elite things like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady too.
But they only do it for one game, and he threw 375 yards. I don't understand. Like, it's not like he threw for 200.
Right.
He threw 375 yards against a really good pass defense. The Raiders are one of the best pass defenses in the league. They don't give up deep passes, and he was hitting deep passes on them. So, like, I mean, I don't know how much more he can elevate. I mean, he can't. It's not his fault Dan Quinn's an idiot. I mean, if Dan Quinn had a better game plan, then maybe he's elevated his players. So, like, I don't know. Like, that's always what they use. Aaron Rodgers' game against the Jaguars or something.
No, he did it. He did it against the Cardinals.
I mean, how many yards did he get, Chris? He did not throw 300 yards.
No, Dak Prescott threw 300 yards.
Dude, 375 yards with Noah Brown and Cedric Wilson. Okay, let's perspective.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not going to slander Dak this week. I was ready to slander him the week before because I thought he played awful in the week before.
Mm-hmm.
But he threw for 375 without Amari Cooper and without CeeDee Lamb.
Well, there's nothing else he could have done.
No,
did he miss some throws? But, you know, sometimes when you miss throws with guys you're not on point with and you don't have the timing with, that's going to happen. I mean, Aaron Rodgers won that game against the Cardinals, right? But that's the thing. Yeah. Like, he won. So, like, everybody's like, he did it with nothing. like, even though he had, like, a YP of, like, 5.8, didn't throw the ball past 10 yards.
Yeah. No, it wasn't pretty, even in the slightest.
And his defense showed up. They stopped the Cardinals. See, it's like.
The defense played out their minds. Out their mind.
But that was Aaron Rodgers with his mutant telekinesis telling the defense, we got to step it up because I need help, guys.
Yeah. 22 of 37, 184 yards, but 2 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Right. Yeah. See that? Yep. There you go. No interceptions, 2 touchdowns.
Running game, a combined 29 carries between AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones for a combined 130 yards, basically, is what the number is.
Okay. Yeah. So,
I mean, they had a running game on the day. They had one touchdown combined. Aaron Jones had the one touchdown. But, I mean, what's that? 29 carries, 130 yards-ish, one touchdown from the running game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they destroyed the Cardinals.
Yeah, you know, so that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, sure, he went out there and did it without those guys, but it's not like he, like, if he threw for 5 touchdowns, he went out there and threw 5 touchdowns and 40 yards.
Different story.
You know, like, it'd be different, but he had to play a control game because he had some wide receivers he didn't trust. He really
couldn't. Bro, he had to use all his timeouts halfway through the fourth quarter because they didn't know where to line up.
That's what I'm saying. You can only elevate players to a certain point. Like, you cannot. Can Aaron Rodgers elevate you with a dime throw? Yes. Okay. He can elevate you with a dime, right? Just put right on you that probably another quarterback can't put on you. Okay. That's fine. If that's your point you want to make, that's fine. But can he make the guy get open? No, he cannot do that.
No,
he can't. Nothing you can do. You can go back to 2018. Everybody tell you go back to 2018 when he's throwing the ball away. That's his problem. Is he can't nobody open. And, you know, Devontae was like hit him. He was either hurt or he was awesome or he was hurt or he's awesome. And so he was like, you know, well, and he's like sitting back also, there. What?
He was also making sure that this was the last year McCarthy had. So let's not say that 2018 he didn't have anybody get open. He decided not to put some ball in those dime positions.
Let's be real. When Jordy Nelson started to fall off a little bit, right? Randall Cobb got a little older. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers numbers weren't the same.
His numbers aren't the same, and it
makes those guys are a little underrated, you know what I mean, because of it, because people act like they're bums because they're playing with Aaron Rodgers. But no, Aaron Rodgers did not will Jordy Nelson to get beat people by 2 yards on post routes. Like, that's right. Not he threw it to him perfectly in stride, but Jordy Nelson created this Marie shit.
Oh, yeah.
And then Aaron Rodgers is just one of the most accurate quarterbacks ever and just put it perfectly on him. We're missing it. We're missing the whole thing is that, yeah, Jordy Nelson was really good, too, and could mm-hmm. get open. Mm-hmm. And Aaron had the accuracy to put it on him. So it's everything together, right? He didn't.
And that's the same for Dak. Everything together.
Everything together. That's what I'm saying.
375.
And I'm not really trying to go out there and say Dak is fully elite or anything, but you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, like, I think we need to chill on the elevate thing. And then, you know, and then it's because to me, people really call Jordy Nelson a bum to me. And I'm like, you don't bum your way to 1,500 yards. Like, not everybody had 1,500 yards with Aaron Rodgers. So who's the bum? I mean, Devontae has done that, but it took 5 years for that to happen again.
Well, Devontae, he struggled in year two, but at year three, he got right back where.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't like that thought process at all. I think people need to chill on that. Elevate the players around you. Yes and no. You can elevate them with the throw. You can't elevate them to the point where they just become awesome. Because
because
we love N'Keal Harry over here. He had Tom Brady.
And he could not do anything. He was a
first-round
draft pick, for crying out loud. He was a first-round draft pick.
He had Tom Brady.
And he had Tom Brady.
And Brady was like, you can't play anymore. Because you don't get open. So, like, anyways, all right, guys. So, enough of that, and his boy, Aaron Rodgers, is balling. He came back with super immunity. And is
super immunity. He broke his toe messing around in his home. Messing around at home while he was sitting there with COVID.
Mm-hmm. Now he's back.
Now he's playing ball with a broken pinky toe.
He's been lights out 2 weeks in a row, dog.
Oh, he's in the zone right now, dude.
You guys, how did they lose the Vikings game? Because I really haven't watched it. How did they lose that game? Just luck.
It was just
bad luck.
No. It was the Vikings. This is their Super Bowl every year when they get the Packers at home. That's just what it is. Like, we're going to get the best shot from them every single time. And that's just what happened. It was a division game, and the offense was a little slow out the gate, and the Vikings made them pay. It's nothing more than it was two teams that just know each other after playing each other for ages. And somebody was going to get the last shot, and it just happened to be the Vikings.
And you gave Kirk Cousins on his how many years has he been in the NFL?
Kirk Cousins. Oh, who cares anymore?
Oh, one, was he 2012? Is that what it was?
2012 he came in the league.
Yo, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So this is your 10, right? Your 10. You guys gave him his 13th fourth quarter comeback.
13.
It's 13 years.
And then all he had to do was get in the field goal range, and he barely did that. No, I think it was just one big chunk play. I think the defense just got lost on a play that really set it up for them to finish that off. But, I mean, I'm over it with Kirk Cousins, man.
Oh, man.
Do you know who – I didn't even realize this. You know who his quarterback coach was when he entered the league? You know who coached him to take RG3's spot?
Well, Sean McVay, right?
No, sir.
Who was it?
Matt LaFleur.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Matt LaFleur was his quarterback came into the league.
See, a lot of the problem is with why these NFL teams are struggling to pass the football right now is because everybody runs the same damn offense. Like, I feel like six guys, there's like six teams I could think of that run the Packers offense.
Yeah, like, you're not wrong.
And yeah, like, the Raiders, run it. The Raiders, yeah,
came out of the same tree.
Yep, and then because Washington and Florida, all those guys, and all those guys came under Gruden, so they all mm-hmm. run Gruden's version of the West Coast, and all added their own spice to it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's what the Raiders run. That's what the Packers run. That's what the Rams run. It's what the whoever. I mean, the Bengals run it. The Saints run it. The Chargers. I mean, that's a lot of teams running the same offense, bro.
You know what? It's the West Coast offense. It's been the same. It's been working for 30 years, Marcus.
Yes.
It's not the straight up West Coast offense. You can't get away from some of those principles.
It's Gruden's version. That's what it really is. I don't know if it. See, I'm originating. I've been working on this. Sean Payton or is it Gruden?
No, it's Bill Walsh.
Well, no, it's Bill Walsh originally, right?
Yeah.
But everybody's added their own spice to it.
And then Holmgren, and then Gruden, and then Payton. Like, they all came from the same tree.
No, I would say Walsh Shanahan first, right? Walsh Shanahan. Because Shanahan left Walsh first. Walsh Shanahan.
Over Holmgren?
Holmgren. Yeah, because I think Shanahan, Holmgren. All right, so we're going on the West Coast right here. So I think it goes off the two ways, right? So you got the power run game version, right? And then you got the outside zone run game version. So you got Bill Walsh, and then it goes off to Holmgren, and then it goes off to Shanahan, and then a bunch of guys kind of just weed off of it.
Sure.
Right. So I think Andy Reid comes from this side, from the Holmgren side. I can see my hands, but whatever. From the Holmgren side. Comes from the Holmgren side. And the other one is the Shanahan. So I think the McVay Shanahan outside zone one is Gruden. LaFleur, I think Gruden starts a different one. I think Gruden, come together.
He like brings it back to the, he brings it back together. Like he took elements of Shanahan and Holmgren and put it together. Started his whole new tree. Okay. I got you.
See, that's why, like, it's Sean Payton. I've been trying to figure out if Sean Payton and Gruden have any type of history, because they run the same thing, right? It was shaped by mentors, John Gruden. There it goes. That bow. It's so basically everybody runs Gruden's version of the West Coast in today's NFL, and he couldn't even run it the best.
No.
Anyways.
No, he couldn't.
He let this little protege run it better than him, Sean McVay, and he's over there struggling.
Well, I mean, when you got
and then he got LaFleur who does it better than both of them.
Yes, he does. Thank God, Salas left San Francisco. Thank God, because that combination of Shanahan and Salas just was the Achilles heel for the Green Bay Packers. So now that he's gone, the Packers swept the West this year. By the way,
yeah.
Well, that's enough about my team, Marcus.
Yeah, I know, right? Let's get into it. I think it's crazy how we kind of just broke down the West Coast offense into like two factors, and we did like a branch, man. We might have to post this
part. We might have to actually like walk it through and like
exactly
create that tree.
That is the craziest thing. I just thought about that. Like half the NFL runs Gruden's offense.
You want a successful football blueprint? Well, let me get you the architects, and we'll follow that. Oh, by the way, it's been good. It's been good for the last 30, 40 years. If you're not running this offense, you're not having success.
It's the offense that changed passing
football. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, Eric Coryell. Well, one is the rules in 1977 that changed it.
Well, right.
Which is another side rant, but we'll get into this because it's kind of just in a serious sense. But it's hilarious, you know, because I got Sports Radar, so I've been doing all this weird study, man. It's been taking my life away. like from 1970 to 1976, there was like a branch of like really good quarterbacks, right? And some of them are really good. And then the rules changed, all right, Chris? And then it went from like 297 attempts to 432, right? Because, you know, oh, we could pass. They can't maul us at the line. And we want to score some more points. Let's pass. And it's funny, like some quarterbacks just took a dump, a dive. They had to throw more.
That did not work for them, is what you're saying.
Yeah, like you know, Keith Taylor's my boy, bro. But like, what's the rules change, man? He just couldn't take it. He couldn't make it anymore. He was like, he's like the most efficient quarterback of all time before the rules change. And the rules change. Al Davis is like, you gotta go, bro. All right. It ain't gonna work. All right, guys. So let's get into our MVP stuff. Adjusted net yards per attempt.
We're getting right into the thick of December starting here.
Yeah.
This is when football is really going to matter. This is when the best of the best shine. Mm-hmm.
And we really don't have an MVP right now. So we're
we do not.
This is a wild.
A lot of people wearing crowns earlier in the season when it was warm out and you didn't have to wear sleeves.
Yeah. Yeah, and my MVP pick, who I thought was going to keep that, which I should have known. Like, I should have known.
You did. You crowned him. And then we looked at it, Marcus. And it's the same guy. It's still Matthew Stafford from the Detroit Lions. It's the same guy. Doesn't beat teams over 500. Doesn't do it. Doesn't beat playoff football teams.
He's the same. He got me, man. He got me. I'm mad about it, actually.
Jared Goff. Jared Goff is going to have more Super Bowl appearances than Matthew Stafford.
Are they going to make the playoffs?
They'll make the playoffs.
Are you sure? No. Chris, who do they play? They got the cards still, right? They got to play the cards again.
They got one more against the cards, yeah.
Do they got to play the Niners again?
I think so. Let me look. Maybe. Let me double check it.
They already beat the Niners.
I got to look. I gotta look.
They got the Niners again. But anyways, why you do that, Chris? Because we're getting the stat later. Keep that. Okay.
They're playing Jacksonville, so he's gonna be really happy.
All right, but we'll talk about that.
We'll get into that.
Okay. We're gonna get into that. All right. So we're gonna talk about a couple guys that are outside it. All right. First, so we got Mac Jones. You just want to highlight Mac Jones. He has a adjusted net yards per attempt of 6.43. So let's chill out on Mac Jones as a superstar. That's all I'm saying. Let's relax.
You know what I did see about Mac Jones?
What?
They compared his first games, his first 12 games.
Oh, no. I see where this is going. Go ahead.
Did you see who they compared it to?
I know this is going, though, but go ahead.
Compared it to Tom Brady's first 12 games. They have the exact same record of 9-3 in those first 12 games. They have a completion percentage for Tom Brady of 65%. Brady was 9-3. Mac Jones 8-4. Forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Brady's completion percentage, 65%. Mac Jones, 70.
Uh-huh.
Touchdown interception ratio. Brady, 16 touchdowns, 10 picks. Mac Jones, 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. 2-1. You know, to be good in the NFL, you got to be a 3-1 guy. Just saying that. Oh, and also over the course of the last 48 games, Aaron Rodgers, his touchdown interception ratio is over 8. So let's just kind of, if we're going to compare Mac Jones to somebody who has an elite touchdown interception ratio, Mac Jones 2-1, Aaron Rodgers 8-1.
Yeah.
Okay. Yards per attempt, Mac Jones 7.5, Tom Brady 7. So that they're making those comparisons online.
I mean,
through the first 12 career starts.
Tom Brady was really not good. Tom Brady wasn't really good to like 2004. I think that's like kind of like the lost part of it is that he didn't really become like Tom Brady until like they like stopped winning Super Bowls, and then he became the Tom Brady we know now. So maybe, I don't know, like, because I was like, and a lot of it goes back to him not having anybody to throw to, and they gave him Randy Moss, and then he just exploded.
That was an incredible year.
Yeah,
that was an incredible year for both of them.
But that all goes back to like they probably would never would have lost a game for 4 years if he had somebody to throw to his first.
I know in the first place. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because of how good a defense they played. And then when Randy Moss came and he had somebody to throw to, the defensive guys got old. So the defense didn't play as well. And that's what they when he had Randy Moss, they didn't like, of course, he got hurt 1 year, but you know, they weren't like as dominant with Moss as they were before. But because the defense got old. But I don't know, man. I can't. It sounds crazy with the Mac Jones kind of thing now, but I mean, I wasn't too hype on Tom Brady. I thought he was going to fall off, and I thought he was going to get killed against Kurt Warner and the Rams. So, you know, we all could be wrong. We all could be wrong. But Mac Jones is also a rookie, and I still think that they're hiding him a little bit. I mean, if you look at his passing chart.
Oh, absolutely. And that defense is through the roof, just like it was for Tom Brady back when he first started, too. That defense is incredible. That defense will always be elite when Bill's got a roster out there the way that he does. What they're doing, and they don't even have – they got rid of Gilmore because they still have J.C. Jackson, who's just killing it over there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still an elite defense.
Exactly. So – but also, I think a different factor though here is I just don't see a team that's a running football team winning in the playoffs against a quarterback of a higher level. Like I don't think that's gonna happen. So yeah, I mean you can
compare. But it's happened, Marcus. It's
happened. It hasn't happened lately. It has not happened lately.
It hasn't happened lately.
No,
a team with a running back has not gone in up to a playoff game. And run all over a team against an MVP quarterback.
Did they go to the Super Bowl, Chris? No, they got to the AFC Championship game. And they got their butts kicked.
You can't say it didn't.
They got their butts kicked. They got their butts kicked.
And Marcus and I know exactly what I'm talking about. And I think that some of our listeners know what I'm talking about, too. But I'm talking about Derrick Henry running all over the Baltimore Ravens when Lamar had that MVP life going on. So.
But see, that where did they go? Then they got to a quarterback who could throw. And it was over. So that's my point. I think today you have to be able to pass to win. So you cannot just you can make it to the playoffs. You can go 12-5.
Lamar could throw.
What? No. I'm not saying Lamar can't throw. Okay. I'm not even taking that to Lamar. I'm basically talking about Mac Jones because people probably think the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl because the way this is going. No. But
okay,
no, it ain't gonna happen.
You think there's that many people that think the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, 100%.
Oh no.
Chris,
I can't get behind that.
You're tripping, bro.
I can't get behind that.
All right, let's move on from Mac. A couple people, Patrick Mahomes, he's getting MVP love, but he's not even close to it, so it's not really happening. If they give it to somebody outside the top six for the first time ever, I'm gonna be pissed. Patrick Mahomes doesn't deserve it. Justin Herbert, no, he's 6.80. Just want to talk about that. He's 6-5 with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Austin Eckler and a great offensive line. I do want to point that out too. All right. you know,
yeah.
And people with him crack me up. They're like, they're trying so hard to just tell the truth, guys. You know, he just throws short passes. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay, guys. You know, just it's okay. It's all right. That's all I got to say. It's okay. You love him. You know, you want him to throw deeper passes. You know, you try to act like Joe Lombardi doesn't scheme deep passes. You know, I saw this Mike Tyson's son. He's an analyst for the Athletic. And he does good work. He does really good work. But, you know, people just have this love affair for Justin Herbert. And, you know, he went through Joe Lombardi's offense. And he was like, yeah, there's some deep shots for Herbert this week. And, you know, talk about, you know, how, you know, it didn't work. And I'm just thinking, yeah. But your boy didn't take him, did he?
No, he did not.
No, he didn't. Yeah. So
he did not.
But that's the problem. There's nothing wrong. There's really nothing wrong with it. He's just not going to score a lot of points. He's just not. So, I mean, they get to a point where sometimes it works when you play like a man-to-man team like the Steelers. I don't know what the hell they're doing. You know, it works, but it's not going to work all the time for him. So he's going to have to throw downfield more. He's got a lot of comebacks this year, though. I'll give him that. He's got 5. That's pretty damn good.
Wow. 5 of their 6 wins are comebacks.
Are fourth quarter comebacks from Justin Herbert. So, I mean, I'll give Herbert that. I mean, honestly,
still very smart.
He's still very smart. In the fourth quarter, he's elevating his game. We'll give him that. But I still think my comp, you know, on the old school podcast was Derek Carr, and everybody gave Derek Carr crap. Just saying. All right. Okay. Joe Burrow. So we're getting to the fall offers here. Joe Burrow, he was six last time.
If I remember. Yes, he was.
And I said that was a fluke.
You did.
You know another guy who totally fell off of this, Chris, that we didn't even talk about? Carson Wentz. I passed up Carson. Remember, he was 10. Carson fell off a little bit too.
Well, we'll get. That's my wild card. And if we got time at the end, I might have to have a conversation with you about our wild cards from your rankings at the beginning of the year.
There we go with this. Okay. Carson Wentz, he's 14 actually. He fell to 14, so he fell off a little bit too. I did call that. I did say he was going to fall off. His YPA is like 7 now. He's not in the race, Chris. He's out. He's gone. He gone. Because I don't know. They're a running team now. What is he going to do?
They are a running team now.
Hey. All right. So
they are.
Go ahead.
I was going to dive in on them being a running team. And that's what's going to get them into the playoffs. And that's what's going to get Carson Wentz me the props that I need.
I don't think
it's just the W. Just the W. Oh, yeah.
Are you sure about that? I don't know. I
think they're set up for a run.
Yeah. I think they got through their run and now they got to, you know, beat the teams in the division, which is not, I guess it's not that big.
That defense leads the league in takeaways. Just saying.
All right. And you got Joe Burrow who fell from 6 to 12. And I mean, which is, you know, weird. I mean, he fell off, right? But you know,
is that weird, Marcus, games. Or did it get cold like we were talking about?
It did get cold. That's why they're
not trying to get cold.
It did get cold.
That running game's taking it to a whole nother level. You want to talk about an outside zone West Coast offense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're trying to hide him. That's why he's 24-20. He's still throwing picks. He threw another one last week. He still has 12. I think they're trying to hide him a little bit at this point. I mean, the Raiders game, he was not impressive. I mean, when I watched him on tape to get ready for that game, I was not impressed, bro. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you. I was not impressed. I saw a quarterback that just held the ball way too long. They had awesome playmakers around him.
He does have some fantastic playmakers around him.
Like, fantastic. He really
does.
He probably has one of the best. Like, and he's gonna have that for years. And I don't know. And I think it's always gonna make him look a little better than he actually is. And if those guys ever got hurt, they'd probably get killed. That's kind of how I look at it. I just was not impressed, man. I just wasn't. Like I was like, man, the Raiders are going to stop this guy, and they did. So, I mean, because he lets pressure get to him, and then like his line's going to get like the Russell Wilson type thing, where like his line's better than it is, but he just takes sacks all the time.
That's a good run offensive line, and they struggled last year immensely in the passing game. And you're right, because of these three playmakers that they have on the outside, that makes it a little easier on offensive line if that ball gets out quickly to those playmakers. So
100%.
if you can keep the defense off balance, you're only helping that offensive line.
Yeah. And I think that just the team around him and all that stuff, I think he's just a little overrated. And I think they have an awesome defense. Their defense is fantastic. Like it is
playing very well.
Yeah, and I mean, they had two games without a Woozy, which then they lost both those games and they couldn't stop anybody. And then that dude came back and they shut down the Raiders and Ben Roethlisberger probably retire. So, you know, that defense is awesome. So I think they're going to make the playoffs. I even think they have a chance to win that division. So,
those are some big words there.
But it's all going to come back to my point that it's going to get him super overhyped.
Okay,
because he's going to make the playoffs. They might even sneak a playoff win.
He's outside that top 10,
right? People are going to be calling him like a top 5 quarterback stuff next year. Watch, because he's going to make the playoffs and sneak a playoff win or something. All right. Anyways, our next couple guys, we got Josh Allen and Russell Wilson, who both fell off. Russell Wilson was, of course, number 2 on the list before, but with no games, and he started playing, and he's down to 10. So if that tells you anything.
before the finger injury, he was 2. After the finger injury, he is off the board.
He was like 9 last time. So he went from 9 to 7.19. All right. So, you know, Wilson, you know, I think the league just kind of figured him out, bro. Like, you know, he loves deep ball. We just play too high and just try to stop the deep pass. He's not going to be able to do anything.
Did you see on Monday Night Football, he was just doing everything he could to force the ball to DK. And he had, I don't even know who, was a Lockett in the middle of the field?
Yeah, it was pretty Swain.
Wide open. Oh, Swain. It was Swain. Wide open. That was a 15-yard gain before he even turned around and started running.
See the thing is,
Brian, like, you want to push the ball downfield, how about you throw it to the guy that's open in the middle of the field 15 yards away, and he'll run for another 15.
Chris, you're missing something. You can't see it.
Oh, middle of the field.
So that's why I saw Brian Greasy break it down. That's how Brian Greasy break it down. He's like, yeah, he missed it. He can't see it. He's short.
Interesting. That didn't even cross my mind.
Marcus. Yeah.
That did not even cross my mind.
And it doesn't cross anybody's mind. And that's why people keep talking, hyping up these short quarterbacks that are coming up. And I'm like, we can't do that anymore. We got to stop. We can't expect people to be Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson figured it out. I think Kyler Murray's figuring it out a little bit too, but we all know Kyler Murray's not Russell
Wilson. It's really just Drew Brees' fault.
Yeah, but Drew Brees figured it out too. It took him a while.
It took him some time, but he figured it out, and he didn't just figure it out. He turned it into a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, but you know, but also Drew Brees was like, he had Purdue in the Rose Bowl. You know, it's like people don't take that into account too when they're looking at like draft picks. Like Drew Brees had Purdue in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe, I said, yeah, it's something you can think about before something, but it took him a while too. Like he sucked for a little bit. You know what I mean? And I think it's a little bit because he was short. And he probably had to figure out the tippy toe thing. I bet that came later on.
That tippy toes and that chin up in the air. And
yeah. I bet that came so much later on because
Russell needs to start putting his chin up in the air and getting on his tippy toes.
Yeah, he does, but he's 33, so it's too late.
It is too late.
he's like, I have won how many games doing this? I've been, yeah, that's how true. Many playoff that's appearances? True. I had a great defense, and you know, we went to the Super Bowl, you know, and all that stuff. And then,
I got this question right here for you, Marcus.
Okay, yeah.
Does Russ end up in New Orleans? Does Sean Payton show him how to do it?
Oh, I think what happens, and I think with this team, I think they fire Pete Carroll and they keep Russell.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think they choose Russell over Pete.
I hope they do that. That is my preferred. That's my preferred method. I hope that's the case, because nothing will ever, like, that's it. They're done.
Yeah, they're done.
The kingdom has fallen. Seattle is back to struggling to make the playoffs.
And I bet he won't win without Pete Carroll.
I agree with you.
People sleep on Pete Carroll.
Who are they going to bring in there?
Yeah. You know, and people sleep on Pete Carroll. Like, I know he's old school, but he has a formula and he has a team prepared every week and they win.
Mm-hmm.
And dude had Geno Smith out there. And they're out.
He had Geno Smith out there.
They look, and they can beat it. They're competitive. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get more into this list. I skipped over Josh Allen a little bit. Josh Allen, he was 4, I believe, last time. He fell all the way to 7.03. Same thing has happened to Josh Allen, which happened to Patrick Mahomes, but they're like, okay, you're going to play too high and you're going to play quarterback. And Josh is like, no, I'm not. And then he's taking sacks and all that stuff. That's really what's happening to Josh. And, you know,
you mean his completion percentage is coming back down to normal?
I mean, it's still 66.8. He's still throwing a lot of yards. He's playing well. He's just not playing like he did last year.
Yeah, he's not playing.
He's not elite. He's just good, which is fair. It's just fine. He can be good.
Yeah, I think that's fair. He can. He's definitely a good quarterback.
I mean, to me, my comp all to him was a better Cam Newton. I mean, I said that after his first year, that he was Cam Newton, and he's a better version. So,
yeah,
that's really what he is.
I think I even had a light bulb moment when you said that.
Yeah, I mean, because that's really what he is. He's in the red zone, right? I think he has like 31 touchdowns or something in the red zone, like since 2019. So he's Cam Newton. So he's Cam Newton with Stephon Diggs and a good.
He's Cam Newton with Stephon Diggs.
And it's funny that you know Sean McDermott was with Cam Newton in Carolina, and I think he probably saw that too.
Okay.
And people laughed at that comp when the NFL teams came up with that. People laughed at it. Cam Newton, I just love him so much. He's nothing like Josh, even though Josh is the same size and runs as fast and does the same stuff. It's like, come on, guys, anyways, all right. We'll skip over Jameis because he's not playing anymore. But Jameis, I mean, he's hanging on
right there because everybody else is sucking. That's the only reason that he's still in there.
He didn't get a chance to suck yet. So,
He didn't get a chance to suck yet.
Exactly.
I think that's where we can leave it with Jameis. He's on the list because he didn't get a chance to suck.
All right, so let's get into top eight because I think some of these guys are interesting. Well, there's really just one guy that's interesting in here. All right, Derek Carr. I don't even know if he was on here last time we talked about it.
He was 10 last time.
Was he? Yeah, he was 10, huh?
Yeah.
He's kind of right safe spot. I think he's at 7.30.
Actually, Derek Carr's been in it the entire time that we've had brought light to this.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing well, man. I think he's playing really well. I wouldn't go so far as say he's playing at elite level, but I think he's playing. I think he's a tier two quarterback for sure now. Like, I mean, I think he's top 10 quarterback, like, I don't think it's kind of debate for me.
I think it's fair to put him in there.
I mean, how consistent do you have to be for 3 years for somebody to put you in the top 10?
Yeah.
I believe that he's playing at a consistent level. He's basically had the same adjusted net yards per attempt for 3 years. There's really not as many guys are as consistent as him the past three seasons. So, and he's got to throw more touchdowns, right? I think if he had touchdown percentage is really low. If he had more touchdowns, he'd probably be running away with this thing, to be honest, because he'd have the yards, he'd have the touchdowns, and his adjusted net yards per attempt would be like around Kirk Cousins, who we're ready to get to, and maybe even Stafford, because his YPA is so high. He's not taking as many sacks as he was early in the year. His completion percentage is a whole lot higher. If he had more touchdowns, his passer rating would be higher. And then his adjusted net yards per attempt, he'd be running away with it, in my opinion. But the record, too, and his reputation would hurt him as well. But we'll see. But technically, he would be way higher just in his start attempt if he threw more touchdowns. So that's probably the only reason that they're doing that. And then, you know, now they're using Marcus Mariota down there. So he's probably going to throw over 5,000 yards and 21 touchdowns. Yeah. All right. But Derek Carr, I mean, he's missed or consistent. I mean, he's been ninth in adjusted yards per attempt for like 3 years in a row. There's really no difference. He has the comeback victories and all that stuff. So he's gonna be here at the end of the year. He'll be here like top 10, top 7. We'll see.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now we're getting to more MVP area here. We're at 7. Tom Terrific is at 7. He's had a fall off too. Tom has.
Tom Terrific.
Tom Terrific has fell off a little bit.
Well, I mean, they turned into a running game team against the Colts there. Mm-hmm. Leonard Fournette, 4 touchdowns. What is that?
Yeah.
Ruined my fantasy football week. Ruined it for me.
Oh, ruined for you. Help me, man. I started off 0-5. I'm 5-7. I'm hoping to make the playoffs. So,
I'm sitting at 6-6, and I'm tied for the fifth seed because this year's been outrageous. I lead the league in points against. It's been so much fun to have everybody put up their season best against me. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's fantasy football, man. It's fantasy football. All right, Tom Brady, though. They've fallen off a little bit. They lost 2 in a row. And then they had a bounce back against the
Colts.
They had a bounce back game there. you know, they had the loss to the Redskins, but, you know, the Redskins are playing
after the
football team. The football team. After that, the football team.
You know, they'll get a new team name and you'll still get it wrong.
I'm pretty sure. So they lost to Washington. And then, you know, and then Washington, I mean, they basically, you know, they're doing what everybody's doing. Like, you're not going to throw deep. And I think that the Bucs have a run game, you know, so that's how they're adjusting. And that's how they're going to keep winning because Tom Brady's YPA is only 7.4, but he has a touchdown. I mean, he had 30 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. So that's why he's high up there in adjustment starts for 10, but is he playing at an MVP level?
Yeah, because he started the year so hot.
Yeah, he's not playing.
I wouldn't say he is.
No, he's not. He's not. All right. So any last words on Tom before I get to the guy who's just sitting there?
He's going to hang around. He's going to hang around forever because he always does, and he's going to be a pain in the butt in the playoffs because he always is.
Yeah. You know, another thing I'm going to say is, you know, everybody hates pocket passes, but
we're getting to that time of the year. We're getting that time of year, Marcus, where it's Tom. It's Tom terrific.
And we're basically having another Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady NFC Championship. They both get 1 and 2 seats, which they probably will.
It's possible. it's very possible.
We're on a So you guys get some pocket passers. You better hope Dak balls against one of them because that's all you got. You got Dak. He's sitting right in the middle. That's all you got. you got to pray Dak could beat out duel one of those guys from the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Tom Brady. He's probably going to play this 49.
Oh, yeah. At this rate.
Have fun with those running around Malik Willis guys. All right. Anyways, Jimmy G.
Jimmy G been balling out.
Bro, Jimmy G, man, all he does is win, bro. All Jimmy G does is win. But Jimmy G has good stats, bro.
He's so
hilarious.
He has some of the best QB lines over the course of the last 4 weeks.
Hilarious.
When he did it once, I was like, okay. When he did it twice, I was like, wait a minute, is that some consistency? And then he did it 2 more times. So
yeah.
I was like,
yeah. And then he did it against the Vikings. He do an interception early.
I can't give him all the credit against the Vikings. It's the Vikings on the road, and they're always going to lose. So.
Yeah, but you know, a lot with him too, Chris, is that Deebo Samuel has taken the next step, right?
Oh well, what they're doing with him in the game plan has been insane.
Yeah, you know, since he's taken the next step as a receiver, like a number one guy, always makes it easier for everybody.
Sure. And Brandon Ayuk, he's become more fluid and relevant in the passing game again. So. Their offense is coming alive. You got Kittle coming back to life again, too, after his injury last year. It's not like they don't have weapons in San Francisco.
And they got Trent Williams. You know what I mean?
he's putting up some of the most elite run blocking statistics in NFL history. Like, he's up there with guys like Ogden and just some of the big maulers of our time here at left tackle. He's putting up some serious run blocking stats.
Yeah, man, he's just, you know, he's a monster over there. Jimmy G is a great play caller and he has great players around him. So he's going to put up great numbers and they win. Because, you know, historically, if you're at these numbers, man, I mean, all these guys have winning records except one of them, which we'll talk about. All these guys have winning records. you know, besides Russell Wilson, of course, but like even the guys below him from like 1 to 13, all these guys have winning records.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like all of them have a winning record on the season. Even if it's 6-5, you know, it's still winning record. 7-4, still winning record. So it's from that perspective, it's, you know what I mean? It's like you hit these stats, you're going to win. And that's what Jimmy's doing. And that's if he's hitting the good stats to that make you win. And that's where we're at. And that's why he's at 6. But I mean, you turn the tape on, you don't see an MVP. That's all I got to say. it's just something you just don't get too excited about watching him on tape, man. He's still staring stuff down. I mean, when you have the best player caller in the league and he's just giving you open windows.
That defense is good, but they're not can survive Jimmy G in a bad game good.
No, they're not. Exactly. All right, man. So let's get to this, the top five here. Like, let's get to the real MVP race here, which I think all of the, besides one of them, I think all of these guys have a legit shot. They still have a legit shot. Okay. So we got Dak Prescott. You know, he just had, we talked about him earlier, had a 375 yard game. He's getting his guys back this week for the Saints. So I think he's in position to really put some pressure on the guys in front of him, where we talked about a second, to get to the MVP. So I think the two guys who are, we'll just get into it between these two guys. I think these two guys are the MVP race right now. But based on the way they're playing, and they keep playing the way they're playing. I think because they're most consistency wise, I think they're the best quarterbacks this year. So Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott. Okay. Dak Prescott is five. Aaron Rodgers is six. Aaron Rodgers has been the best quarterback.
Four.
Oh, he's four. My bad.
Don't go
backwards. Five. Aaron Rodgers, four. So Dak Prescott is five. Aaron Rodgers is four. You know, in front of him, we'll get into this. In front of them, because I think we're out of time a little bit. In front of them, we got Kirk Cousins, which, I mean. And then Kyler Murray. Nobody's going to vote for Kirk Cousins. Nobody. I'm sorry.
No.
They're not going to do it. Yeah, I feel bad for him.
And I'm sorry, but the only reason Kyler's at two still is because he's missed the last three games.
Yeah, so Kyler's out too because, you know, the sprained ankle thing still bothers the hell out of me.
Down the stretch, I think it's going to get ugly for the Cardinals down the stretch here. I think the pressure is going to turn up on them. I think it's going to get ugly for him.
Yeah, and because let's say he goes out there and has a bad game, they're going to be like, come on, man. I mean, you can't play with
he goes out ankle. There and has one. He goes out there and has one bad game. Then the following week, the pressure amps up to another level. Like, he cannot afford to have a bad game. Like, they're 9-2, and he cannot afford for that team to finish with five losses and 12 wins.
Yeah, I mean, but it'll be interesting if he comes out and he does keep playing well. If he does,
it will be interesting.
He could win MVP. He could. He still could. Even with the games he missed,
I don't know. If you miss that many games, he doesn't have. But we'll see what it looks like at the end of the schedule, but at the end of the year. But I don't know. When you miss that many games,
I don't know. Maybe, man. I don't know. But he'd have to keep it up.
They've got an easy schedule. The Bears this week, the Rams at home, at the Lions, at home versus the Colts, at the Cowboys is probably their most difficult game, and then at home versus Seattle to finish it off.
See, there you go.
Dang it. They're only going to lose like one of those games.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, so he could play really well in those games. So he might have a chance to steal. But I still think
if Dak. I don't like you for saying that out loud.
Yeah. But
you're not wrong.
Yeah. If Dak and Aaron, because I think Stafford's out. Stafford's number one guy. And it just knows he's out.
We're going with history.
We're going with what's happening. Is obviously he's going to play. Is he got some good teams to play left?
He has Jacksonville at home this week. So he's going to ball out and be steam. He's going to stay right there at the top of the list after this week. But then he goes to Arizona.
Okay.
He gets Seattle at home.
Okay.
To Minnesota. And that's one that I'm going to tell you if there's ever a bet to take. Take the bet that the Vikings win that game.
Oh, he's going to lose the last three games, ain't he?
At the Ravens and then at home versus the Niners. They could lose the last three of the year. They could lose four of the last six.
Chris, they could finish 9-8, bro. I'm looking at this. If we're just going off history, right?
They could lose the last three games of the season. They could go.
Because if we're just going on based on bets, because the Vikings
win, loss, loss, loss.
Yeah, hear me out, Chris. Because the Vikings got the Lions, they got the Steelers, and they got the Bears before they play the Rams. So they'll probably have a winning record.
And that's the kryptonite. That's why Stafford loses, because all of a sudden the Vikings get a winning record.
They're going 9-8, bro. I'm saying it. All right, here we go. Which would be a classic. Classic, but I think Stafford's out. So we got Aaron versus Dak. To me, is the matchup here
with Kyler Murray is the wild card.
All right, so let's look at these two guys' schedule coming up. Okay, all right. So let's start off with Dak Prescott, since he's five. He's got the Saints, okay? Then he's got the football team. Then he's got the Giants. Then he's got the football team. Then he has the Cardinals and the Eagles.
Where's the Eagles game?
It's at Philly.
Last game of the year?
Last game of the year.
See, you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do right now?
Okay.
The football team in Washington, I think they lose that game.
You think so? It's a possibility.
Oh, you know what? Well. Yeah, they're playing pretty well. I like the way that defense is playing, even without
I'll give you a sneaky one. Chase Young. They lose to the Giants in New York.
They got three road division games still.
Yeah.
At Washington, at New York, and at Philly.
New York secondary is no joke. They're damn good. And Patrick Graham is an underrated defensive coordinator. They could beat the Cowboys because they'll just beat them 13-10.
And the Giants just beat the Eagles this week too. After 13-7. After firing Jason Garrett. So they're like I almost like the Giants to win a lot of their games to finish the year.
Yeah, they have that defense is legit.
And that's why.
That's why. They have a really good defense, man. If Joe Judge gets fired.
Saquon Barkley running the ball in December.
Yeah.
I like that.
If Joe Judge gets fired, man, I want Patrick Graham on my team. I want that dude. Because that dude, he exposed Russell Wilson. He's the Russell Wilson killer. And then let's look at Aaron. So, I mean, that's
Rodgers. So Packers are on the bye week this week. And then they come back at home versus the Bears.
Okay.
In Baltimore. That's the one that I think they lose. But then I think they win out at home versus the Browns, at home versus the Vikings, and at the Lions.
Okay.
So I think I'm sticking with my 13-4.
It's Aaron, bro. Because Dak's going to lose a couple of those games. And people are going to kill him because he's just exactly what you said at the beginning. He got paid $40 million. And you got these guys at 10-7, barely winning the division. And sneaking into the playoffs, they're going to kill Dak. And then Aaron's going to get rid of it. Kyler's the undercard. Kyler is the underdog here, not the undercard. He's the underdog.
He is, because I think he probably has the easiest record or the easiest
schedule. And he has the easiest chance to put up stats and points.
Put up some numbers.
Yeah. Put up some impressive, you know, type of stuff. And, yeah.
But if they finish the season with the same record as the Green Bay Packers, there's no way you can't give it to Aaron Rodgers.
Since Chris, I don't know. Media is mad at him right now.
You're not wrong. He does keep throwing him under the bus, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. The media is a fan of him right now. So, I mean, he's going to have to win that thing outright. To me, if it's close, it's going Kyler. Especially if the Cardinals win the division and they get the bye. I think it'll definitely be Kyler. But I mean, I think Dak is Dak can come too. I mean, if Dak goes into Washington and he goes to New York and he plays really well and he wins those games, man, he can win it too. So, you know, it's those three guys right now.
I can get behind that.
It's a three-man race. Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, and Kyler Murray.
Get behind that.
You know, I think it's going to be Aaron because I think Aaron's kind of hit a little bit of a stride.
Aaron's playing some good football right now, and I'm enjoying it. And everybody's still hurt. Like, he's still doing it without Jenkins and Bakhtiari, his two best offensive linemen. Oh, by the way, the center that they had to start the season out. Like, he's doing it with an offensive line that is not even the actual offensive line. So,
I mean, they're still run blocking pretty good because AJ Dillon looks pretty damn good.
That's what I'm saying. These guys are killing it, and they're all going to be backups after this season. I'm excited. I'm very excited going into December football.
I'll see how these Raiders do. Maybe Derek Carr can steal it, bro. Maybe here comes Derek. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know everybody wants to go see a playoff game in Vegas. You know everybody does.
You know this is crazy stat that I got all the Raiders Twitter all mad at me. Some guys are like, you know, stats don't lead to wins, whatever. But you know,
I saw your
Yeah.
I saw your back and forth.
They're mad. Right. Because I found the stat, the Raiders have the most explosive plays, big plays of 20 yards or more through the first 12 weeks of the season. 58. They tied Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs from 2018. Right. The stats since 1991. So like it's basically like three greatest show on turf teams and the Chiefs and then Andrew Luck and then Derek Carr. And people didn't really like that, but the thing is with that though is that I mean all those teams went to the AFC Championship, the championship game, all of them, and that's why I was like, right, that's what I was like, you know, that'll be interesting, that would be shocking, wouldn't it? The Raiders just like, you know, I mean, because that's basically what I mean, or you're the Rams of 2000 who had like the worst defense ever. I mean, they gave up like 500 points, but they scored like 573. So they made the playoffs. It was like the greatest. That's literally probably the greatest offense ever is the 2000 Rams. But
ready to show on turf.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. They basically make up that list, bro. Just the whole list. It's just Kurt Warner and Torrey Holt and Marshall Faulk.
Isaac Bruce.
Yeah, but it was funny. I tweeted that out, and then everybody's mad and talking about explosive plays don't mean wins. I'm like, well, obviously it does. So I mean, all these teams, if all these teams went 13-3, then I mean, maybe it's because their coach got fired and their best wide receiver killed somebody. Maybe that's why. Maybe those are the things. Maybe that's why they're 6-5. Maybe, guys. Maybe, just maybe, maybe. I don't know. I don't know about anybody else, but maybe they're 6-5 because of those the craziest things have happened to them in a season. Like, I don't like, yeah. Do we use our brains, man? Like, it's not just, you know, Derek Carr sucks, they're 6-5. No. They're a terrible, they've had the worst.
They've had some pretty bad things going down.
Don't forget,
what was it? Three of the last five first round draft picks no longer on the team.
Yeah, they all suck.
Yeah. That might have something to do with
Josh Jacobs is literally blind. I'm about to go on a Raiders rant here, but Josh Jacobs is literally blind. I've never seen a player miss as many holes that I've ever seen in my life. Ooh, I don't know. I have no idea.
You got Trent Richardson in the backfield.
But it's like a hit and miss thing. Like it's like he's 230 pounds or something like that, right? But he runs like he's Tony Pollard.
I'm going to stop you before you go off even further. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stop you right there, and I'm going to hit you with the, I hate how right you were about Arizona State losing to Oregon State. I hate it. I hate it. You, for 3 weeks, you were setting that up for 3 weeks. And it happened.
At least it wasn't as heartbreaking. At least they were already out.
Thank God.
And when they, like, Utah lost two games in a row, and it was like, for the
At least they beat Arizona. Yeah. You can't be mad at the end of the day. Also, the transfer portal could be bringing a quarterback that I do not like right now to Arizona State.
Who's that?
Spencer Rattler.
Oh, they're going to bring Spencer here?
There's talk of Spencer Rattler coming in because Jalen hasn't made a decision about if he's going to turn pro or not. They're going to bring Spencer Rattler here to go and play against his old coach. I think that would be motivation enough to actually get his A game. I think homeboy was just straight chilling in Oklahoma, collecting his paychecks, and had no motivation to actually play the game. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Hashtag we'll see. He could also end up at UCLA under Chip Kelly. He could also end up at USC under Lincoln Riley, but I don't think Lincoln Riley wants to actually do that. But there's a potential for Spencer Rattler, not only in the Pac-12, but at Arizona State.
I mean, I guess I take it.
I'm not either. But if he's got a fire lit, the kid's got talent. If he's got a fire lit now, the kid's got talent. If he comes in and lays an egg, then I'm going to hate the decision immediately.
Yeah, I got into some draft Nick because he said compared to Patrick Mahomes as a prospect. I'm still mad at the disrespect that Patrick Mahomes they showed at that.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful. Disrespectful. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Our MVP show, basically. We'll see if our predictions go right. Because my earlier went obviously terrible because I was fooled by Matthew Stafford beating the Bucks. That's basically what I was fooled by. I was literally fooled. I thought the Cardinals game, maybe the Cardinals just really good. You know what I mean? Like, he beat the Bucks. Cardinals just really good. And I was fooled. And I'm not going to let him fool me again, though. So they're going 9-8.
I will dive into. I will agree with your top three. I think those are the three names that we'll be hearing going forward for the rest of the year. They will all finish inside the top six of your statistic. That will, from now on, be the MVP statistic.
Yes, it will. All right, guys. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Instagram, ALPA_QB1. We got a little pocket awareness on Facebook. Subscribe here. Make sure you guys subscribe here, you know, on the iTunes. Hit the download button on the Spotify. And then follow me and Chris on Twitter at TheMarkJohnNFL, at KingManellos. I'm actually starting to get my first round quarterback charting going. We're getting ready for draft season.
We're getting ready for it.
It's going to be a terrible process for me and Chris breaking down these quarterbacks. I'm not too excited after charting Matt Corral.
We're not happy about this draft.
And, maybe if we run 80 RPOs of Matt Corral, it'd be good. So, anyways, guys, we'll see you next week.